My beloved hearts, Saint Germain, I am, and I am here to greet you in the flame of freedom. Thus, my beloved, what do we of the Ascended Masters desire to see for our students, for our Chelas? Well, my beloved, I can assure you that each of the seven Chohans of the seven rays desires to see you benefit from the best qualities of his or her ray. Thus, my beloved, as the master on the seventh ray, even though Kuan Yin is presently presiding as the Chohan, I indeed desire all of you to be free, to experience the freedom of being in the flame of freedom. Not in the sense that you see that freedom in opposition to bondage, but you transcend the duality in which freedom has an opposite, and you come into that flame of being freedom. My beloved, how can you become free? Well, you need to understand freedom, at least as a start. And so you need to realize that there are many false concepts of freedom circulating on this planet. And the most subtle of all of them is the one promoted by the false teachers, namely that freedom can only come when you can do anything you want. And my beloved, the only reason this illusion has such a hold on so many people is because the earth is currently so dense and humankind's consciousness so dense that so many people do not recognize, do not experience intuitively the direct relationship between their actions and the reaction from the universe. They do not experience directly the reality of the law of action and reaction, the law of karma. So, my beloved, how can you have an illusion that freedom means you can do anything you want? Well, you can have it only when you deny karma. For when you know the law of karma, you know that every action has an opposite reaction, at least when that action is taken from the consciousness of duality. And so, my beloved, what is truly going on is that those beings who fell from a higher realm in their rebellion against God and against God's vision and will and law, well, they have attempted to create the illusion that you can escape the reaction to your actions, that you can escape your karma. And thus, my beloved, I must tell you that there are indeed some of the most, quote-unquote, sophisticated of these beings who know that karma is a reality and that you can never escape the consequences of your actions. Yet they also know that if they can get other people to accept the illusion that actions don't have consequences, that you can do whatever you want and get away with it, then they can get some of these people to go along with their schemes. And that means that the people who go along with the fallen angels, the false leaders, become partly responsible for the karma created as a result of that state of consciousness. And that means that those who are at the top of the pyramid can avoid reaping all of the karma because those below them take on most of it. And so they can dodge that karma and avoid having the return because those who are below them, those who are their followers, are bearing the brunt of the burden. This is very similar to what you have seen in many cultures, such as the feudal societies in Europe, where you had a king or a duke or a master who owned practically some people below him, and those people were the ones who bore the brunt of the physical burden of raising crops and providing the riches that allowed the leader to sit in his castle and become fat on the labor of others. And so this is a physical representation of what is going on in the hidden realms in terms of certain false teachers, false leaders who are getting other people to follow them blindly into that state of consciousness of rebelling against the law of karma, of creating the false sense of freedom. And thus, they can sit there as the leaders while their followers carry the brunt of the karmic burden. So, this is why these insidious lies have been spread and continue to be spread, so that someone can set himself up as a guru and have followers who then bear the burden of the karma made through his selfish actions and through the spreading of the false teachings he is bringing forth. So when you realize that the law of karma does indeed work and that no action can be taken without generating a reaction from the universe, then you realize that you need to refine your concept of freedom, for it no longer makes sense to say that freedom means that you can do anything you want. For my beloved, God has given you free will, so you can literally do anything you want, but you can never escape the consequences, the karma of your action. So if you are willing to pay the price, then you can indeed do anything you want, so that you fulfill those desires, those selfish desires, until you tire of them. And hopefully you tire of them before you have made so much karma that you have no chance of balancing it in the time that is left for you. Yet, my beloved, it should be obvious that neither God nor we of the ascended host desire to see anyone be trapped on this treadmill of karma, of making more and more karma while sticking your head in the sand and denying that you are making karma. So we desire you to realize what it truly means to be free. The true definition of freedom is that you realize that you are not a separate being who exists independently. That you realize that no man is an island. Because you are, your lower being is the feminine polarity to the masculine polarity of your I Am Presence and spiritual self. And when you recognize this, you realize that freedom comes at two levels. At the higher level of freedom, you have the decisions made by your own higher being, which sets certain parameters for what you want to accomplish on earth, not only when you came the first time, but also in this particular lifetime. And so, when you bring your lower being, your conscious self, into alignment with that will of your own higher being, then you have outer parameters for what is your goal in life. And when you stay within those outer parameters, virtually anything you do within those parameters will contribute to your spiritual growth and a fulfillment of your divine plan. And what does that mean, my beloved? Well, it means that when you have aligned your lower being, your conscious self, with the will of your own higher being, when you have made that commitment to staying within those parameters, well then, my beloved, you are free to do anything you want within that framework. And when you do so, you will not make karma, and you will not hinder the fulfillment of your divine plan. Yet you still have immense freedom for how to specifically fulfill your divine plan or fulfill certain desires you have the freedom from which will ultimately contribute to your spiritual freedom and your ascension. So, my beloved, when you understand this, you realize that the true freedom you can enjoy as a human being in embodiment on earth, or should I say as a spiritual being embodied in a human body, the true freedom you can enjoy is, in essence, the freedom of a child. The freedom of a child who has been placed in a safe environment by a loving parent or teacher. And so within that safe environment, there are no dangerous things that can hurt the child, but there are many different forms of toys or crafts or lessons that the child can learn. And so, once the child is in that environment, the child can choose for itself, and it has unlimited possibilities for choosing. But no matter what it chooses, it will not hurt itself, it will not hurt others, and it will indeed grow from the experience. And this, my beloved, is one interpretation of Jesus' wonderful statement that unless you become as little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. For truly you can see that the kingdom of heaven is a symbol for a state of consciousness. And it is precisely the state of consciousness I have described, where your conscious self has come into such alignment with, such oneness with your own higher being, that you, without even having to make a decision about it, you stay within that framework of your own higher will. And therefore, you are now free to play as the innocent child who really has not a care in the world. And this, of course, is that state of freedom that you see in many children who are not yet burdened by the adult consciousness, where they are open, loving, creative, free to just enjoy life without being burdened by so-called responsibilities, without having to deal with what adults mistakenly call the real world, but which is truly a world of their own making, a world where they create their own suffering through the dualistic struggle that they perpetuate lifetime after lifetime. So, my beloved, we desire all of you here below to attain that freedom, that alignment with your own higher being, so that you can now be as the free, innocent children who can look at the earth as a playground and joyfully explore, follow your heart's desire, and within the framework of your higher will, do whatever your conscious self desires. For it will all lead you towards your goal. So, my beloved, what is the one condition that prevents so many people from attaining that state of childlike innocence, even as adults? Be honest with yourselves, beloved, and look at your own life. Look at the people you know, whether they have followed this spiritual organization or that spiritual organization or this or that religion. Be willing to recognize that in spiritual and religious circles, there is a very clear and obvious tendency that people feel very burdened, feel a need to be very serious and to take life and the spiritual path or salvation very seriously. And so they turn the spiritual path into a state of stress instead of being like the joyful children who joyfully, lovingly run to the living Christ and sit at his feet. Sometimes not even listening to his words, but just gazing into his eyes and absorbing the vibration of the living Christ, thereby internalizing it and coming closer to oneness with it. Well, the one condition you see in so many people who are spiritual or religious is that they have come to believe that they need to take spirituality so seriously, that they need to accept some kind of standard compared to which they judge everything and everyone. And so, when their own behavior does not live up to that standard, they feel a need to judge and condemn themselves or feel guilty. And of course, in engaging in these feelings, immediately the innocence of the childlike mind is blocked and cannot manifest. And they also often feel a need to look upon the actions of others and judge them according to this standard they have accepted. And so, instead of looking in the mirror, they look at the splinter in the eye of their brother and they judge everything according to some standard. And my beloved, if you will be free of this, one way to do so is to start realizing that you are doing this and then start becoming more aware of what standard you actually have. What is the standard you are using to judge everything? Where did it come from? And then, my beloved, if you start looking at that standard and comparing it to the teachings of the Christ, the teachings of the Buddha, or the modern teachings of the ascended masters, you will be able to see that that standard could not have come from an ascended being who is beyond duality. For truly, as we have now said many times, we do not judge anyone. We do not condemn. We do not feel threatened by anything, so we have no need to control. Thus, my beloved, we of the ascended host do not have a fixed standard for how our students should behave. For we see each student as a unique individual, and we want you to be free to be who you are, to express not only your God fame, but also the divine individuality anchored in your I Am presence, and the individuality that your conscious self has created through your sojourn in the material universe. As long, of course, as that individuality is within the framework of your higher being and contributes to your growth. So you see, there are some people who believe that when you enter a spiritual or religious organization, it is as if you have to put on a straitjacket and you have to come into alignment with a standard that everyone else is supposed to follow as well, so that all move in the same way, almost like robots who mechanically move along and recite whatever prayers or rituals and blindly confess their faith in whatever doctrines are accepted in the organization. And thereby people become literally like automatons who bear no resemblance to the self-aware creative beings that God created, who bear no resemblance to the living Christ. And yet they think that if they keep marching blindly along, following the blind leaders, they will one day suddenly wake up and poof, now I am in heaven. Yet, my beloved, you will not get to heaven by following the crowd, by following an outer standard. You will get to heaven only by being yourself, by following your higher self, by being that higher self in action and expressing it through you. That is how you will be in heaven, for heaven is that state of consciousness, of oneness, of integration between your higher and lower being, and that is the state of ultimate freedom, of being free, of being freedom itself, in expressing your God flame and your individuality. So this, of course, is what we desire to see for all of our students. And as an absolute requirement for moving towards that freedom, you must heed El Moria's warning about the state of judgment, of judgmentalness, that causes you to compare everything to this standard that really is not clearly defined. And if you look at it closely, it's illogical and often comes from people who are very self-centered, egotistical, judgmental, and are so anchored in fear that they have a need to control everything, and so they invent this standard as a means of control, as a means of comparison. So, my beloved, be willing to admit if you have been affected by this consciousness, which, as I said, pervades most of the spiritual and religious organizations on this planet. Be willing to realize it comes from duality, and then use the tools we have given you to rise above it. For let me tell you with absolute certainty that as long as you feel the need to judge anyone, including yourself, you are not free to be yourself. For you see, my beloved, what happens when you judge is that there is an overlay in the mind, in the analytical mind. It is like a computer running, and whatever happens in your life, whatever input comes to you, is filtered through that computer, which instantly compares it to the database of this standard it has created or accepted. And so, because there now is an interim step between the input that comes to you and your reaction to it, your reaction no longer flows spontaneously from within. It is not creative. It does not come from your higher being, for all of a sudden now your reaction has to live up to this undefined standard. And your computer will surely come down upon you if you do not follow that standard. And so, my beloved, this of course is not the innocence of the childlike mind, because the innocence of the mind of the child is that the child responds spontaneously to life. The child does not analyze its actions or reactions. The child simply responds spontaneously, joyfully, lovingly. And yes, I know you will say that many children make mistakes or commit selfish actions. And while this is true, and that you cannot remain in that state of childhood for your adult life, I am talking about a higher sense of innocence. For as I have explained, when you do come into alignment with your higher being, you will spontaneously do what is right, what is within the framework of your higher will. And thus it now becomes possible for you to spontaneously do the right thing. And you thus have no need to analyze everything before you do anything or before you respond to any situation. Do you see, my beloved? Instead of this lower standard created in the realm of duality, you have the higher standard of being so aligned with your higher being that you spontaneously know what is right and do what is right. And this, as you have discussed earlier, is then a higher form of integration and oneness than the lower level where you still need an external direction. For you see, my beloved, we of the Ascended Host are more than happy to give you divine direction that will help you grow on the path. But there does come that point where you need to become self-sufficient, and thus we cannot continue to give you those directions that tell you what to do, so that you do not have to draw on your own inner being to make those right decisions. You see, my beloved, we do have the knowledge of how to ascend, but even so, we cannot direct you all the way to your ascension, for in the end you must walk on your own internalized knowledge and being, so that you can walk through that eye of the needle on your own inner being, freedom, internalization, wisdom, love. You see, my beloved, if we could have brought about your ascension for you, you would already be ascended. And thus the realization is that we cannot do this for you. You must be for yourself. And this, of course, is our joy to see our students come into that state of being, that state of freedom. This is what we desire. We have no desire to see you become robots who blindly follow us, even though we are not the blind leaders. But precisely because we are the seeing leaders, we want you to become the seeing students so that you become masters in your own right. Ah, my beloved, could I only convey to you the freedom of rising above that state of judgment, that state of analyzing everything, comparing everything to this non-existing or completely illogical standard. Could I only convey to you what freedom it is to let it drop from you and come into that oneness with your higher being so you no longer need any outer standard, but you are being the living Christ, letting your light shine regardless of what the world thinks about it. This, my beloved, is such a joy, such a freedom, such a sense of being one with God, being one with all life, that you can scarcely imagine it. But yet I desire to convey at least some view of it, some vision of it, that you know that this is indeed such a joyful state, that once you reach it, you will look back on your current troubles and your spiritual past and say, no matter what I had to go through to reach this state of mind, it was worth it. Truly, my beloved, there is no effort, there is no hardship that will not melt away when you reach that state of innocence, of freedom. You will feel literally spiritually reborn, as Jesus said. You will feel like a new being in Christ. And you will look back and say, but why on earth did it take me so long to reach beyond that consciousness that was so unreal? And yet the reality is that many of you could have reached beyond that consciousness long ago, but you volunteered to take on some of the planetary consciousness and transform it to lighten the load and pave the way for others. And thus again, even though you might go through burdens right now, could I at least make you contemplate that these might not be your own, your self-created burdens, but you are bearing those burdens for others, then I think it would make it easier for you to carry that load. For you know there is a higher purpose, and you know that one day you will have transformed it. You will be able to throw away that yoke and be free in the light and the love of your own I Am Presence. This, my beloved, is my true desire for you. And so I hope you will contemplate my words. Look at your path. Look at your involvement with a spiritual organization. And see that if a spiritual organization or teaching is taking away your innocence and your freedom, then it does not mean that there is something wrong with the teaching or the organization, at least not necessarily. But it does mean that there is something wrong with your approach. And so you need to strive for that non-attachment of the Buddha that was so beautifully described yesterday by Gautama. So again, my beloved, go back over the dictations we have given at this conference. Do not simply read them once and think you are done with them. Go back over them, including the ones that will be given tomorrow, and strive to internalize them at a deeper level than you have ever done before. And if you will do this, I know you will experience a greater freedom than you ever thought possible. You will feel a shift in your approach to the spiritual path, and you will gradually begin to glimpse that freedom of the innocence of the child, of coming into oneness with that higher being, coming into oneness with the river of life and feeling it flow through you, which is the ultimate state of freedom and joy. So I leave you with these thoughts, for I have no desire to burden you by talking about world conditions. For my beloved, could you only come into that innocence of the child, in that innocence, you would do more to transform the burdens of the world than you could ever do by remaining in a dualistic state of consciousness of analyzing and judging. You see, my beloved, the innocence of the child can transform 1,000 times more than any amount of seriousness of the adult. So dare to be free. Be not afraid of freedom. Do not cling to your prison in which you have become comfortable because it gives you that clear sense of what you are allowed to be and what you are not allowed to be. You see, my beloved, to be or not to be is really a matter of whether you are willing to be free or whether you will cling to your self-created prison and the security that it seems to offer, as opposed to the seeming insecurity of freedom. So dare to be free, and I leave you with the joy of my heart, the joy of seeing so many of you come together. Dare to express that freedom. Dare to express some humor. Dare to just be playful. For, my beloved, this gathering truly has been a joyful event, and we look forward to seeing what will transpire on the morrow. Thus I bid you good night.